Hey everybody, it's Louisa Nicola and welcome to the Neuro Experience Podcast. I'm excited to share some insightful new research that was recently published out of Florida State University on the relationship between sleep and ultra-endurance triathlon. The study revealed surprising insights in sleep duration and overall performance. So in this episode, we're going to deconstruct that and we'll get into that very shortly. We also have a guest on today's show. He is the fittest man on earth. He was the winner of the 2021 CrossFit World Championship Series. His name is Justin Medeiros. We're going to talk to him as well, and we're going to be deconstructing his recovery techniques and of course his sleep routine. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Neuro Experience Podcast, where you will learn the science of human performance and optimization. I'd like to thank our two sponsors of today's episode. Our first sponsor is 8Sleep. 8Sleep is a sleep fitness technology company that makes the absolute best mattress covers and mattresses to increase the quality of your sleep. You all know that I've spent my career working on the science of sleep, and I can tell you firsthand that one of the things that we mess up when it comes to sleep is quality versus quantity. The 8Sleep mattress and pod pro cover were designed to help make sleep quality more efficient. Their tech allows you to automate and control the temperature of your bed as you sleep through the night. Sleeping on this bed has changed the way I sleep and the way I view sleep as a whole, because being able to control your core body temperature while you sleep is probably the most innovative experience I've witnessed in sleep technology. So if you want to try this out, if you want to increase your sleep performance like I am, and you want the mattress or the Pod Pro cover, then you can save $150 using code NEURO at checkout. That's right. Just head to www.8sleep.com/neuro to find out how you can get $150 off using code NEURO at checkout. The second sponsor of today's episode is Muse. Busy days means busy minds at night, and busy minds means restless sleep. How many nights have you laid in bed tossing and turning as you watch the minutes tick by? I definitely am someone who has been through this. By using the Muse headset, you are using real-time biofeedback on your brain. It picks up on your breathing, your heart rate, and your body movements. So it quickly learns when you're tossing and turning throughout the night, and it keeps your mind at ease. So Muse is a brain sensing headband. The way I use it is every night before I go to bed, I put this headband on and I select a sleep journey on the app, and the tech within the headband responds to my brain activity, and it adjusts as I go through the night. It adjusts the content, so it cues my brain to not only fall asleep, but if I'm restless through the night, the tech picks up on that. So the headband picks up on that and it automatically guides me back to sleep. It's so incredibly smart. So if you want to monitor your brainwave activity for better sleep, you can get 10% off using code NEURO at checkout. Just head to www.choosemuse.com to receive 10% off the newest generation of Muse S. Enter NEURO at checkout. Okay, guys, before we hear from Justin, I just wanted to highlight a study. I know that many of you on here come to the Neuro Experience Podcast for several reasons, but one of them is upgrading your performance. Now that means whether you're an athlete, a regular exercise goer, or somebody who's just really involved in the human optimization movement, meaning you want to do everything you can to increase your health span and your lifespan. And that's, you know, that's the home of this podcast. So before we bring Justin here, I wanted to highlight this study, which was only recently published in October 2021, and it was out of Florida State University. And what they did was they took a group of 17 triathletes who were about to perform a 3-day ultra endurance multi-day triathlon. So what they wanted to investigate was the relationship between sleep duration, sleep quality, and race completion time during each stage of the race. A bit of a primer. We know that in humans, sleep is essential in enabling the human body to recover after activity to optimize functioning the subsequent day. Sleep restriction and sleep deprivation have been demonstrated to alter hormonal and cognitive functions. With all the information available, it is reasonable to assume that sleep restriction prior to exercise would consistently hinder exercise performance. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a difference between sleeping 6 hours to sleeping 8 hours and what the effect has on your performance, but I know I've seen that. The reason why I'm highlighting this particular study is because I was a triathlete. Many of you know who are listening to this is I was a very, very good triathlete. I raced for Australia. I qualified for Beijing and London and Auckland. So triathlon took up a very, very big part of my life in my late teens and my early 20s. And I wish I had the information available to me back then for what I have today. 10 years ago in training, we weren't talking about it. So I was sleeping sometimes 6 hours a night, sometimes 5 hours a night. The theory back then was you'll sleep when you're dead. I was training so inherently every single day we were training. I just wish I had slept more. I can only imagine what it would have done for my hormonal system, my endocrine system as a whole, and of course my recovery. So let's get back to the study. So the team at Florida State University had a primary purpose to determine the relationship between total sleep time and race completion time. And also, they wanted to determine the relationships between sleep quality, sleep onset latency. So sleep onset latency is the amount of time it takes you to fall asleep. You know, when you get into bed and sometimes your mind is still ticking, that's your sleep latency, and how many times they woke up during the night. So wake episodes, and also sleep efficiency. So they wanted to determine the relationship between all of those things and race completion time during each stage of the event. What they found was that total sleep time over the course of these 3 days was reduced by 100 minutes. So I'm going to say that again. They found that over the 3 days of this Ultraman Florida race, which was a multi-day triathlon, their total sleep time was reduced by 100 minutes. They also found that total sleep time had a strong negative correlation with performance the next day in 2 of the 3 race performance days. What does this mean? Well, taken together, this data supports the previous literature that we've always known, which underscores the importance of sleep duration on the next day performance. So what I found most interesting in this study was the accumulation of sleep deprivation. So they found that the athletes were starting the race with insufficient sleep. So maybe on day one, let's just say the night before day one, they had sufficient sleep. Okay, the recommended sleep for elite athletes is 9 hours. So let's just say they slept 9 hours and they went into day one. Then after that, after day one, they went into obviously night one and they were deprived of sleep. So they incurred debt. So let's just say they usually sleep 9 hours and then they slept 6 hours. And then the following night, they slept 6 hours. So an accumulation of the 3 hours on the first night and the 3 hours on the second night is an accumulation of debt. And this accumulation of sleep debt occurred throughout the entirety of the race. And this sleep deprivation, the accumulation of all this sleep deprivation, showed a negative alteration in their endocrine responses, including an increase in the stress hormone cortisol, a delay in the onset of melatonin release, and a change in the timing of the growth hormone spike. You can go back into some of the episodes where we talk about the sleep stages and we deconstruct what happens in deep sleep and in REM sleep. We know that in deep sleep, that's where we get most of our growth hormone spikes. So these athletes saw a change in the timing of those growth hormone spikes. So sleep deprivation also showed significantly large increases in not just cortisol, but creatine kinase and plasma C-reactive protein levels pre-race and post-race. So what does this mean? Well, first of all, we know that these compounding variables are detrimental to performance. Why? Because they increase physiological stress, they cause difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and they impair physiological recovery following exercise. So the reason why I brought this study into play is because I think it's phenomenal. We're always trying to find new correlations between sleep and performance. And, you know, the scientists are doing really great jobs right now, but there really hasn't been clear data to show the accumulation of sleep deprivation. So that means that if you are an athlete or somebody wanting to perform at their peak, you have to really consider what just one night of sleep deprivation does. One night of sleep deprivation can dramatically decrease your performance the following day. When you have a decrease in performance the following day due to all of these physiological changes, you're going to have a hard time falling asleep that night. What happens then? It means that you're going to lose out on sleep once again, and you have this accumulation of sleep debt. I've mentioned several times that sleep is not like a bank. You cannot pay back your sleep. What does this mean for you? Whether you're an athlete running an ultra endurance event, or you are just someone who enjoys going and pushing themselves at the gym, sleep deprivation can alter your performance. So the key takeaway here is that sleep deprivation accumulates over time and has a negative effect on performance. Even a mere 30 minutes of sleep deprivation each night compounds, and it ends up killing your performance and also increases your rate of many physiological diseases. Now let's hear from the world's fittest man, Justin Medeiros.
I've got you now. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. Whereabouts are you in the world?
I'm in Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. So I'm from Australia. I live in New York City. Where is Boise, Idaho? That sounds interesting.
Like the northwest of the United States. A little colder, rainy up here, but it's awesome. I love it. We get snow. It's starting to get in that winter time now, so it's cooling off a bunch.
Yeah, I'm actually really scared of the winter. But look, I'm so excited to have you here. I've got so many questions. First of all, congratulations. You're now a partner of 8 Sleep, which is awesome.
I know. I'm so pumped about it.
I'm so pumped because I heard a rumor about you. Apparently, you are like the fittest man in the world. Is that true?
That's what people are saying, I guess. So,
wow. That was always my dream growing up. You know, I wanted to be the fittest woman in the world, but listen, I didn't even get close to it.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It's definitely like a dream that I had. And then it's just kind of weird that it actually like happened now. So it's definitely been really cool though. Something I've worked for a while.
So why don't you tell us a bit about your, like what you do, your background, what sport you're in?
Yeah. So I grew up doing like football and wrestling, just kind of like the common sports. And then I always used CrossFit to help train for those. And then when I got into college, I stopped doing other sports, really focused on CrossFit, and just kind of took that as my main sport, even though it wasn't really, it's like, it's not a sport that you have like at high schools or anything. So I was just joining a local gym, competing there. And I told myself that I wanted to qualify for the CrossFit Games before I graduated college. And I gave myself like that 3 or 4 year time span to kind of give it everything I have to, give it my best shot to qualify. And, I was able to do that and actually win, which was insane, but, it was a really cool experience. Definitely like had to learn a lot along the way.
So were you an athlete growing up? This is CrossFit's pretty intense, right? I was YouTubing you before I got on here, and it's like the things that you do is like pretty insane. Like you're hanging off handlebars, like you're flipping over.
Yeah, no, it's been crazy. I actually started CrossFit when I was 12. I've always done sports growing up. And just from like the youngest age, doing soccer and kickball or whatever the sports my parents put me in. And then my mom was actually the one that found CrossFit when I was 12, and she got me to come in. She knew I was super competitive and liked the challenge. And she was like, tell me about it. She's like, yeah, we went in. It was like an hour long thing. Like, we warmed up and we did a workout that took 7 minutes, and then we cooled down and went home. I'm like, wait, what do you mean you worked out for 7 minutes? Like, you can't get a workout in 7 minutes. Yeah. It made no sense to me. And I was super curious. She kept talking to me. After like a month of her telling me about it, she finally got me to go in, and I did it. And it was one of the hardest like things I've done, just because I was thinking it'd be so easy. I was training with the high school team at the time, because I was about in seventh grade. And they were like talking about going to the gym for 2 hours on end. And then here's my mom telling me she did a workout in 7 minutes. And I'm like, it just didn't make any sense. I went in and it was way harder than I expected.
Wow. I can imagine. So how often do you train?
So I normally train in a given week. I do 5 days per week of hard training, with 1 day completely rest, and then 1 day we call it like low impact day. So like, we'll do swimming or biking and a lot of stretching. So it's kind of just like active recovery kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited to talk to you about your recovery techniques and your sleep performance. So, you know, for myself and what I do, you know, for a living, is I really believe in sleep, and I go through and I do sleep performance programs for many athletes. And I discovered I discovered 8 Sleep back in January this year. Before I even knew what the company was, I got myself a mattress, and I was like, this is absolutely incredible. What I saw, what I noticed within, I would say 4 weeks, I would say about 4 to 6 weeks, I noticed so many things happening to my REM sleep and my deep sleep. So I started to investigate further, and I realized that not just temperature, so many different things are involved in sleep performance, but temperature, managing and controlling your temperature right through the night is absolutely key to having a deep sleep. So I love that. And that's how I recover. So let's talk about like some of the techniques you're doing to recover and how you're incorporating sleep.
Yeah, I know. Like you said, like, I think the temperature was the biggest thing. Like, for me, like, I love wintertime because the house is always nice and cool. I get to like have all my blankets on and I sleep amazing. And then when summertime rolls around, it's always way too hot. And like, I can't sleep unless I have covers on, but then it's hot and I don't want my covers on. And it's like too expensive to turn on my air conditioning bill to get it down to like 67, 68 degrees, where I feel like it's like the best. So I actually moved in with my coach this summer to like really dive into training, and he likes the house really warm, and I like could not sleep. It was terrible. And I was trying to research and find new ways to like try to get my room cold. So like, I looked into getting like an air conditioning unit just for my room, and all these drastic measures. And I came across 8 Sleep, and I used that, and it was like a complete game changer for me going in, because like, obviously I've done so many things with my recovery, between just like nutrition wise and trying to do things inside and outside the gym, just going to getting massages and PT work and all that stuff. But I like can't do any of that if I get a terrible night of sleep. Like, that's like the biggest change. Like, if I get a bad night of sleep, my like training the next day is immediately focused. Like, if I happen to miss a PT session or miss a stretching session or like miss a meal here and there, that's not accurate, like I can get away with it. And it's, I'm still able to go about my training. But when I have like one bad night of sleep, like it ruins that whole next day of training for me. So for me, that's like one of my biggest focuses for recovery, is just doing everything I possibly can to maximize my sleep, because that's where I've noticed like the biggest difference.
Yeah. There's something that I always say, and I always say that sleep is not like a debt that you can pay back at the bank. It's not like you can miss sleep 3 or 4 nights a week and make it up on the weekend. It just doesn't work like that. 1 day of sleep deprivation is, for me, I know as I'm getting older, or, you know, as athletes train as much as you do, one night of sleep deprivation, I should say, can really ruin you. And then what happens is it's an effect. It's like a flow on flow effect. It's like, if you've missed a few hours of night, of sleep, the next day you're not going to train that well. So you're not going to be performing that well. And because of that, you're a bit anxious and then you lose sleep again. And the cycle just keeps continuing. I'd love to know a bit more about like your routine. Like, so you train during the day, you're a full-time athlete. You're probably doing a lot for, you know, your branding and you've probably got a business happening. You're doing a lot on that end. What are you doing to wind down during the night? Have you got like a sleep schedule or a sleep routine or a wind down routine?
Yeah, no, for me, it's just trying to like kind of knock out everything before like 6 or 7 PM at night. Like I want to be able to just relax and on the couch and like wind down. I'm in school and stuff right now, so I have homework.
Oh, really?
And all that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So yeah, I go to Boise State University. I'm a kinesiology major.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool. It's like, I get to kind of apply everything that I'm learning to what I'm doing. So that's always super awesome. But I'm on my last semester. It's like home stretch now, but, it's been really good. Just kind of having to juggle everything and, still trying to like maximize my sleep every night. And I just try to finish everything I can before I get to go to bed so I can kind of wind down. Cause when I train late, if I'm training past like 6, 7 o'clock, it's really hard for my body to wind down. I'm all like jacked up and all that stuff. So when it gets like to nighttime, I just try to make sure everything's relaxed and I'm sitting on the couch trying to lay low. And for me, it's a big time of just kind of like stretching, relaxing my body. And that's when I do a lot of my body work just on myself, just using like my Hypervolt to like hit my legs or my lats, rolling out on the ground. I have GoWad where I do like a daily protocol, and that's kind of like my nightcap of the night. So I'll sit, relax, watch TV, eat a big meal. And then it's like, I hit my stretching routine, which really relaxes my body. And I've kind of found for me, like that's where I've noticed like the biggest differences for like my stretching mobility is when I like stretch, I loosen everything, I get everything feeling good. And then I go right to sleep because then now my body's recovered. Everything's nice and relaxed and stretched out. And then it kind of maximizes it for me throughout the whole night of sleep also. So just having that like routine every night of making sure that I'm just like in a routine, because I feel like that's super big in like my everyday life, making sure I'm eating my meals at the same times, so I'm eating the same amount, and my body's kind of falls in that routine. So it knows like when I'm training hard, when it's time to recover. And once at like 9:30 like rolls around, it's like, okay, it's time to stretch and go to bed now. Like I can like feel it coming. So it's been pretty cool.
Have you noticed anything in terms of how hungry you get if you're sleep deprived? Because there is a very strong link and correlation between sleep deprivation and the hormones that are responsible for making us feel hungry and satiated. And one of the biggest, I think, one of the chief complaints I hear from a lot of athletes, especially female athletes, is, Louisa, how come I'm like, you just cannot feed me enough if I haven't slept? And it's obviously there's a lot of like science behind that statement, but I want to know, like, what are some, you've already mentioned you have after a terrible night's sleep, you have a bad training the next day. Sometimes, you know, some people find that they're slightly anxious. Do you feel anything in terms of diet and sleep?
Yeah. For me, it's a little bit different. Just I think it's for me, like when I wake up really groggy and stuff, it's hard for me to get like that first meal in for the day. For me, I'm kind of like the opposite of that spectrum, is I'm always trying to eat more and more, trying to fuel myself. Cause, I train for probably about 6 hours a day when competition is
6 hours a day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we do anywhere between like 2 to 3 sessions that are about, 2 hours in length. And it includes like your warm up and cool down and everything like that. But it's like 6 hours, like in the gym of really like concentrated training. So for me, it's about getting those meals in. And when my sleep's off, like it kind of just throws out that routine from the beginning of the day. And I always have to eat like a really big breakfast. And so I'm can fuel myself just to get my first training session or two like done for the day. So when my sleep is off or I'm up too late at night doing homework, whatever I am doing, being up too late, but definitely feels a difference when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Someone just asked on here if you're planning to get bigger. I guess, so we've got so many questions on here, but I guess I can go into our next. I was going to ask you what the future plans are. So when it comes to CrossFit, when you're number one, do you just keep competing each year at the CrossFit Games to get better?
So, Yeah. So in CrossFit, I mean, the CrossFit Games is kind of like the pinnacle of the sport. I mean, there's obviously Olympics, really big competitions like leading up throughout the whole year. I actually have a competition coming up this weekend that I'm doing. So I'm gearing up for that right now. I'm super excited for that, but, it's still kind of like the off season, I'd say right now. The season kind of starts in March, and there's three qualifying stages that lead up to the CrossFit Games. So every year, everyone starts with a blank slate and you have to re-qualify, and it goes from the open to quarterfinals to semifinals to the CrossFit Games. And they just keep narrowing down the pool until you get to the top 40 male and female athletes competing at the CrossFit Games. So right now is just kind of those times where I'm trying to like play with all those new little things. If I'm going to like try something different in my routine, this is the time to do it. This is the time I'm trying to make those small little tweaks and adjustments. So once the new year rolls around, January, February, and March is when the open starts, like I have everything dialed in. But yeah, so for me, it's, I normally do one or two off season competitions, leading up before March. And then once March comes around, it's, just like the season that leads up to the CrossFit Games.
And that's how you see yourself, like, you know, going through the next 4, 5, 10 years, just keep training.
Yeah. That's the plan. I want to be here for as long as I can. I still feel like I'm young. I'm 22. So I want to be there for as long as I can. And, that's just going to come with like really maximizing my recovery and, trying to be there for as long as I can. Cause I'm still young for sure. But, when you're like in your young in your 20s, it's super easy to like take your recovery for granted because your body's so young, you can kind of get away with all those things. And then you don't want that stuff to catch up with you on the latter end of your career. So, just really trying to build those habits in now. So when I am getting into like my later 20s and stuff, like I'm still feeling like I'm 22.
One of the biggest reasons why I love what you just said in terms of you're 22. Okay. And what we know about the human brain is the human brain isn't fully developed until the age of 25. So from 25 onwards, that's when all of your habits have already set in. So it's very hard to go through from, you know, at 32, as opposed to age 16, to go and learn a new skill or a new language. That's why they say kids are better, well adapted to learning new languages at a very young age. And the fact that you're getting in these habits now of good sleep hygiene and good sleep quality is going to be really great moving into the latter years of your life. I think where we're really going wrong in fitness, and you can, you know, have your say on this, is I think there's a misconception when it comes to sleep. First of all, now we know that, hey, if we need to recover, we know that we need to sleep well, or we need to sleep. We know that there's this link there. That, you know, that topic got introduced, I would say probably 6, 7 years ago, people started to talk more about sleep in the fitness industry. Where I think we're still going wrong is people still believe that, hey, people don't know the difference between sleep quality and sleep quantity. So, and this is why, you know, tools such as the 8 Sleep Mattress and many other tools out there that can help you enhance your sleep quality. And when I talk about sleep quality, I'm not talking about just go and smash 8 to 10 hours of sleep. I'm talking about how can you increase your REM sleep and your deep sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
So non-REM and REM. And I don't know if you've gone through on the app, on the 8 Sleep app, and you've gone through and you've seen your metrics every morning. What are they showing? Are you getting more REM sleep or less REM sleep?
Yeah. It kind of just depends like on the training day, on how my body's feeling. That's what's really cool about it is you can kind of see those differences of like, if I'm having like a heavy cardio day or something like that, or what I'm doing, like really heavy weightlifting and stuff. It's cool to really see those differences that the app can track. And, I can like make those changes. And like you said about getting like quality of sleep, which is really big. Cause there are all those nights where I don't happen to fall in my routine. I get in bed too late, but to have like the temperature settings to be able to set there or even adjust for the temperatures that are outside, like I'm still able to like hit my head hits the pillow, I fall asleep right away, and I can still hit like those REM sleep and hit those deep stages of sleep.
Yeah, I think that's the most exciting part of my morning. I wake up, I wear many wearables, I should say. So I'm tracking my HRV. I don't know if you track your HRV every day as an athlete, we'll get into that. But when it comes to technology, I'm finding that it's exciting. It gamifies the system, right? So, you know, I was a triathlete back when I was 22, which, you know, publicly speaking, I'm
yesterday
much older than that. Yeah, only last week. But back then we didn't have, I had a Polar watch and we just got into like the HR straps. Now, as an athlete, it must be so exciting to be able to track your HRV. Like, I don't know, what else are you tracking as an elite athlete?
Yeah, no, for me, honestly, a lot of this stuff is new. I just got into the 8Sleep stuff this summer leading up to the CrossFit Games, and I've been kind of like dove into it ever since. Before, I like didn't want to track some of that stuff because I was like, oh, like I'm going to see it and it's bad, then it's going to affect my training. But it was just like kind of playing those mental games with me. But now being able to like really dial it in and find out why some of those days I'm not having good recovery or my HRV wasn't what it should be, it's allowed me to really make those improvements. And now during the off season, it's really nice to be able to find out like what is the optimal route for me.
Mm. So when did you start to take sleep and recovery into consideration?
It was honestly kind of this past summer. I mean, being in college and stuff, it's kind of been all over the place where you just have those late nights staying up studying or whatever that may be. And when COVID actually happened, it put everything online. So I had my school, I can kind of like put my schedule how I wanted it. Everything was on my computer. I got to kind of pick when my class times were. And if I wasn't able to make a lecture, they were all recorded so I could fit it in to my day ideally. And that just kind of allowed me to free up the time where I can get into a really routine schedule. And that's when I kind of started diving into my sleep. And I really, this past year was when I really felt like I had a shot to qualify for the CrossFit Games. And I ended up punching my ticket to the CrossFit Games. It was like 5 months before. So I really was like, okay, like I'm going to dive in and do everything I possibly can. So when I do set foot on the competition floor for day one of competing, like I know that I've done everything I possibly can. And that comes from so many things that are outside the gym. Cause there's so many people that go into the gym every day. They train their hardest, but you really make those leaps and bounds outside of the gym with your, like optimizing your recovery.
Yeah. Justin, I'm just going to cut in because there's a lot of people asking questions. Okay. So first of all, HRV, guys, stands for heart rate variability, and it's a really good performance indicator of how well you've recovered. So we know that there is heart rate, you know, how many beats your heart is producing every minute. But then the HRV is pretty much the standard deviation. And every morning you wake up, and other people are also asking, you know, what's this app? So guys, we're talking about if you've just joined us, we're talking about the 8Sleep Pod Pro Cover, the 8Sleep mattress. And with this amazing like tool, you get an app. So the app connects to the technology. Okay. The technology connects to the mattress, and you can use the app every morning to track and measure your sleep. So the app is there to show you, hey, it says every morning, it gives you your sleep metrics. It says, hey, Louisa, you've had a really great sleep. It gives you a score out of 100, and it says, you know, you spent this much time in REM sleep. You spent this much time in deep sleep. This is, you know, how long it took you to get to sleep. And it also gives you your HRV. So when you're an elite athlete, such as Justin, he can be like, well, today I had a really good HRV, which means I'm well equipped to doing a hard workout. Or I don't know, have you ever woken up with a really low HRV?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's what's really cool is it gives you that like sleep fitness score. And then when it's not good, I'm like, okay, I need to go like, where did this go wrong? And I can look down and look through like all those sleep metrics. And it gives you a score for each one of those. And your sleep fitness score is the average of all of those combined. So you can kind of go in and adjust and see where that went wrong, how many tosses and turns you had throughout the night. And if you got up during the night, it tracks just everything. So it's just really cool to have all that data to kind of apply and see if you can get it better the next night. It's kind of like a little game that I play with myself now to see like how good I can get.
Have you ever reached 100?
I have. Yeah. It's rare when training's high and stuff right now, but I've really tried to stay in that 90 percentile range.
Yeah. So somebody on here is asking what should be the range for HRV, but everybody is different when it comes to heart rate variability. Everybody has a different HRV. What's your highest HRV that you've ever gotten? So like, what's your maximum?
I gotta look. Well, what's yours?
Mine actually is quite high. My maximum is around 190.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. No, normally my average, cause kind of like sitting throughout the nights are in that like 130 to 140 range, but I've had some nights where I'm down even in the 90s, and I've had some nights where I'm up into like that 180, 190 range. So it kind of variations, but I'm pretty sure like my average is kind of sitting around like the 140 range.
Yeah. Everybody, like, you know, these are the questions that we're getting, guys. Everybody's HRV is different. The reason why we brought it up is because when when you receive your 8-sleep mattress and it comes with an app, and the technology comes with an app so you can track and measure your sleep performance. But I think, you know, as we're closing out on this, one of the things that I have found most fascinating and most interesting is the fact that you have complete control over your thermal regulation throughout the night. So for me, on the app, you can go in and you can set 4 measurements. You can set your temperature falling asleep, your temperature during non-REM, which is the deep sleep stages at the first part of the night. Then you go into the REM sleep stages, and then you can have a temperature for as you wake up. And I think this is so key, guys, because when we're moving into sleep, when we reach deep sleep, our temperature, depending on what we've eaten or if we've consumed any alcohol or how we are during the day, our temperature sometimes rises. But we know that in order to fall asleep and stay asleep, we need to have our temperature dropped a little. So Justin, I don't know about your metrics, what you put, but I put for my REM sleep, I put -3. And for my deep sleep, I put -2.
Yeah, no. So right when I'm in bed, I have my mattress pretty cold. I am at like that -5 range, and then I fall into the 3, and then it goes 2, and then 1 is my metrics throughout the night, which I found I've had to play with it a lot. And what's really cool is like when you first log on, it gives you that recommendation. You got to pick like, are you someone that like kicks off your sheets when you go to sleep? And it gives you that baseline, and you get to adjust it from there. And I just set it, like you can set it to like the autopilot adjusting.
And so it picks up on you. Yeah.
So like that's been really cool to kind of see that. Like I see that thing pop up. It says like autopilot adjustment has been made. And it's been a really big game changer for me these past couple months, especially because it was just like 90 degrees here a couple weeks ago. And today it's 46 outside right now. So it's a lot of big changes out here.
Don't get me started. I'm in New York City and I'm really scared. we've got one more question on here, and that is how many hours do you sleep? I know this changes, but roughly.
Yeah, I always try to get over 8 hours. That's just kind of my minimum. And on rest days, like I'll push into like over 10 hours, get that 10 and a half hours of sleep.
And
I have, it's amazing. On training days, I got to make sure I get up at that, at the right time. But I love when it comes to those rest days, I can kind of turn off my alarm and just kind of sleep through. And it always feels amazing. It's kind of those nice slow days, but I make sure every night that I get over 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah. It's interesting because, LeBron is very open about some of the things that he incorporates to perform at his peak, and he does not skimp out on sleep. So he's got that really, really dialed in. And he says that he sleeps like on minimum 10 hours a night, and sometimes he sleeps 12. And it really makes sense because he's training just as much as you, like 6 hours a day. Your body needs those deep sleep, deep sleep stages to recover.
Yeah. And he's able to do it the past 20 years, which is insane. And kind of seeing some of the stories like that, where he's still performing at peak performance and he's almost nearing 40s, I think he's like 37, 38 now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of made it hit home to me. Like, okay, like this stuff matters. This is what's going to move the needles. And, being able to dive into it now and seeing the performance even so quickly is, it gets you really excited.
Yeah. Well, Justin, I'm so excited to see you perform this weekend. I'm excited to see how you go. I know that you're going to put like performing at your best and you're going to do amazing. I'm excited to have done this with you and gotten into your performance routine and, you know, getting to know you a bit better. It's been amazing.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on. It was awesome talking to you.
We'll definitely have you on in the near future, but happy sleeping and I hope you have an awesome day.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
Bye everybody.
Bye.